Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken primarily from our first reading, but I'll be touching on all three readings for today. Well, the last Easter festival service hadn't been over but just a few minutes last Sunday when I got a phone call. Deacon Anthony called me. I thought this is unusual because I'd just seen him here at church and I had been in my office but just a few minutes sitting down there. And so I thought, something unusual is going on. So I answered my cell phone, and he said, "Say, I just got a text from you, and it said that, you know, you had been visiting somebody in the hospital, and that they needed to have a gift card, and could I buy one for you, and then, give it to you?" I'm like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he goes, "But what I saw unusual about it is that it said it was from Pastor Hopkins, but the number that showed up wasn't your number." And I said, "Well, what you have right there is a scam." And I said, "Ignore it." Well, here we were, Don and I were getting ready to go to Chicago. And so as we're getting ready to go, leave right after service there, well, I started getting some other notes from folks that they too had received these texts. In fact, somebody had gone so far as to start engaging the person and went to go to CVS to go buy a car because that's what this person had recommended. And so they got there, and so they said, "Well, what we want you to do is scratch off the back of the card, take a picture of it, and send that to me." And they're like, "Well, we want to talk to you first." And like, "No, I'm too busy." Well, then they did this. Very smart of them. They asked, "Say, what's the name of the dog at church?" No response at all. Yeah, scams. Why would somebody do that? Why would they ask? Well, why would somebody do it on Easter Sunday? Well, money, certainly, that's what they're trying to get, something out of you, something like that, you dropping my name. But also, too, it could be what? What else could happen? Well, it would cast shade on Easter itself. And what is Easter all about? It's all about Jesus and Him rising from the grave alive. It's all about the resurrection and you, the believer. Well, this is nothing new, quite frankly. I mean, this kind of thing's been going on. Take a look at our first lesson for today. What is happening? Well, the disciples are out there amidst the people, and as it says there, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. Think about what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means for these guys. Think about it. Who were they just a few days earlier? A few days before Jesus was crucified. Sure, they were all strong, they were supporting him, but as soon as he got arrested, what happened? They all fled. Peter denied Jesus three times. There they saw their Savior be beaten and crucified. And so they're afraid. As we look at our gospel lesson there, they're hiding out in a room by themselves there for fear of the Jews. They didn't want to get caught by them unless they thought they too might be put to death. But what happens after Jesus pays them a visit? Well, they know now that Jesus rose from the grave alive. Now, good old Thomas, he wasn't there the first time. And so he's like, "No, I'm not. I don't believe you guys. I don't know what you ate for dinner or whatever." It's like, you know, whatever. And not until I sit, you know, put my fingers there in the holes in his hands and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. 8 days later, there they are again, all in one room, all for fear of the Jews. And well, who shows up again? Jesus does. "Peace be with you." And then he turns to Thomas and he's like, "Hey, put your finger right here. Put your hand in my side. Stop disbelieving and believe." And then we have that amazing confession of faith from Thomas. He says, "My Lord and my God." Indeed, Jesus' resurrection tells us exactly who he is. He is our Lord. He is our God. And that is the message that the world does not want you to hear. Well, what happens when the world hears that message about Jesus? Two things. One, people come to faith. signs and wonders were done by the apostles there. Well, that's just to direct people and point their attention to God, that, hey, God is blessing the people there through the apostles. And the Jews understood that. They knew that only somebody who was come sent by God could do these kinds of things. Jesus had done them before. They recognized Jesus had come from God as well. And now all these same things were being done by the disciples. Such was the faith now of the people. People were coming from all around. Around Jerusalem, small towns, bringing their sick and those who were, you know, possessed by demons and that kind of thing, and all were healed. Well, this also then brought the other response. What happens then when the world hears about Jesus? One, again, people come to faith, and the other is this. The high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. Yes, many in the world hate the message of Jesus. They hate Jesus. The party of the Sadducees, in particular, they didn't like Jesus because he spoke about the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees didn't believe that. They thought that once you died, that's it. There's no heaven, there's no hell, only life here on this earth. But what was their response, the high priest's response? Jealousy. Jealousy because what? He was starting to lose control over his authority over the people, and that was the same reaction that he had with Jesus. And so what is he going to do? Take those guys, lock them up. Problem solved. Well, that kind of thing still happens today. People don't like Jesus. And their response? Well, some is to arrest them, keep them in prison. But like that's going to stop God from sharing the message in the first place. It's not going to happen. Some respond in other ways, like in Sri Lanka last Sunday with bombs. Bombs in churches there, killing those who are worshiping Jesus like we did here. Celebrating his resurrection from the dead. Jesus had warned the disciples that, you know, this kind of thing's going to happen. People are going to hate you because of the message that you're going to share with them. People are going to do that. But they're going to do it because they first hated me, referring to himself. That's one of the reactions that the people will have. But what happens when believers hear that Jesus rose from the grave alive? Well, you get excited, and you want to go and tell the world the good news. And the disciples, they got excited. They went out there and shared that good news. Think about how completely different the disciples were after having seen Jesus. Before, they were scaredy cats, didn't want to be anywhere unless they get arrested and maybe put to death. And now, now they're out there telling everybody. Sure, they knew there was a risk in sharing the good news. It's like they didn't care. They wanted to make sure that all would hear about Jesus. And so what was happening then when people were hearing this good news? Well, as it says there in our reading, it's like multitudes were coming to faith. Both men and women were added to the Lord. It's amazing here how the disciples, having seen Jesus, know now that there is life after death. Jesus standing there was proof for them. And then those most important words were shared that mean so much to us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We haven't seen Jesus, but yet we believe. And God blesses others through us who believe. And that's something that we need to take to heart. God blesses others through us who believe. God blesses them because, why? They give witness about Jesus regarding him who rose from the grave alive. And what was the first thing that disciples went to do? They went out and told the people. They did not keep the faith to themselves. They freely shared it. And so we, too, must do the same. Now, we live in a world just like they did back in the day. people still don't want to hear about the message of Jesus. And they will do certain things to try and stop it. They'll have the government put up rules and regulations that try and stop you from sharing Jesus. That happens. They'll say, you can't say that, or else. Christians need to stand up to such persecution. You need to stand up for your own personal rights. And it doesn't mean going out there bashing someone who doesn't believe. We Christians, and you who believe in Jesus Christ, you are a Christian. Be proud of that fact. Let others know that you are a Christian. So we Christians share our faith. We share our faith in Jesus with love. And when we do that, we can be as creative as we want to be. The Comfort Dog Ministry officially begins here at Trinity today. And that's something that we can do. The Canine Comfort Dogs open doors for the love of Jesus to be shared. And think how creative that is. Then we have a dog who's here. And there's a scientific fact that when people come up and pet a dog, what happens? Well, their heart rate starts to go down, their blood pressure gets lowered. All these things are evidence of the fact that just petting a dog can do. And what does that do then for us who bring that dog there in their midst? Well, it gives us some opportunities then. Open up conversations. Sometimes with folks who are hurting there, well, they'll begin to share what's going on in their lives. You know, we sit there and say that, but the really cool thing is that you're like, yeah, sure that happens. But when you see it firsthand, that makes you a believer. It's a stunning thing to see happen. Because we'll be going out there, going out to the world. Because Abraham is a bridge. Like Pastor Hetzner said there, it's like, it's not about the dog, it's about connecting one person to another. When we go out there and share our faith in Jesus, we're doing that with one person to another. But the key thing there is that we're going out. We're demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ indeed. We're going there, making our presence there. We're going to Alzheimer's centers. We're going to hospitals. We're going to people's homes. We're going to the mall. We're going to go to the 911 call center. They asked us to come out there, right? That's a stressful job. And then we've already got it lined up that we're going to go. Those are the kinds of things and places that we can do. Because what are we going there for? To show the love and compassion of Jesus Christ to people who are hurting. And again, when we do that, what can that do? Well, it can start to open up conversations about faith. Now, when we go there, people who are hurting, they start to share. And we are there to listen. And so there'll be opportunities arise to talk about Jesus right there on the spot. And it won't happen unless we go out. And there'll be some times that we'll go there that doesn't come up. Conversations don't begin. And that's okay. But we're still there, demonstrating indeed the love of Jesus Christ. Again, he's a bridge. And the fact that we have a dog here today talks about the support that you've provided as a congregation. Because you see, you're enabling those folks up here in the red shirts here today, all right? That's part of the Canine Comfort Dog, Abraham's team here. You're enabling them to go out and do that ministry. It's a cool thing. It's exciting. Because Trinity Lutheran Church and School, it's known as a caring place. And here we are, we're going to go out and demonstrate that in an all new way. Because you see, it's important to get the good news out. It's important to get that good news out when we worship. When the kids go off for Sunday school. When our kids are here at school, hearing about Jesus. It's important to share that with folks, whether it be over a cup of coffee, with somebody, a neighbor next door, somebody you work with. And it's vitally important when you share that with your family. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that important. For faith in Jesus is the only way in which we get into heaven. For the truth is this, as John put it in our second reading, Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He has freed us from our sins through his death on the cross. And he gives us life in his name from his rising from the grave. And there'll be a day in which Jesus comes back to collect all the faithful. And as John put it, he says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The world on that day will tremble with fear, because on that day it'll be too late to believe. Need to believe before Jesus gets it, comes back that second time. And one thing that I've heard Pastor Hettner say is that hell is hot and time is short. And that's one reason, that's a motivator for me as a pastor, that I want to make sure heaven is full, that I want to make sure that folks get out there and share the love of Jesus Christ, because it is all about love. God wants heaven full too. Well, what's the key thing? Not just to hold that faith in, but is to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So don't let events like happened last Sunday, you know, where somebody's trying to scam you out of some money there, and don't let them rob the joy of Easter from you. No matter what happens around this world and all the events that you see, rather keep in mind what our Savior Jesus has done. He died and rose for you. That's the blessing that you have to share. Blessing needs to be shared each and every day. For indeed, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.